Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
The United States of America.
Yes.
The greatest free nation in the world.
It is.
And one of the reasons we're so great is our political system and the ability that any man, any woman, any person can be president.
It's possible.
And with that in mind, I got an urgent text, a hot text, as you would say,
nice.
Oscar. Please call me on my private line. Donald Trump wants to further his cause, I suppose. I mean, he's only been running what now for...
2 days.
36 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
what's great about him is he's making the rounds. He's really pushing his agenda.
Well, he's the people's candidate.
Yeah.
And I think he'll pick up here. This is his private line, so we won't have to go through. I believe last time we called, Mr. Smithers was his personal
assistant. His attaché.
Yeah, his attaché. So we're calling a New York City.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
Another
is this
gatekeeper.
Donald Trump?
Well, we'd love to have Santa Claus come up.
Oh, is this Mrs. Trump?
No, of course not. Would you like to speak to Donald?
Hold on. I want to talk to who is this? Identify yourself, please.
Hello.
Are you Mr. Trump's personal secretary?
No, of course not, darling. This is the lady from Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, the dead lady from Miracle on 34th Street. Have you been hired to work on the campaign?
Well, we'd love to have Santa Claus.
So this is what you do in the off season, huh?
You know, I do believe your name would be Mrs. Shellhammer.
Michelle Hammer.
Mrs. Shellhammer.
Darling.
And you love...
Would you like to speak to Mr. Trump?
Yes, put down the martini and put the Donald on the phone.
Darling, the boys would love to speak with you.
Dead character actress who played Mrs. Shellhammer in the 1940s. Oh, hi, Donald. How are you?
Hello. Hey. How are you, Rob? How's it going?
Very, very well. And I got your text.
Very excited about the prospects of being president of the United States. It's spectacular. I've been making the rounds with all of, contacts in media, which I have a lot of them, and it's going to be a great, successful campaign because I don't lose. I never lose, and I won't lose this time. I will be president.
You've lost things. I know you lost your casino.
Well, that was not my casino. The Trump name was on it, but that was not. That was the guys that ran it afterwards. They were knuckleheads.
Mr. Trump, hypothetically, you've already lost because an NBC poll came out yesterday saying that 73% of Republicans wouldn't vote for you as the nominee.
That's the way it stands now. The polls, Oscar, are very, very deceiving, and you can't buy into that. The question is time. I understood that it would be an uphill battle, but the fact is I don't lose, and everyone else, these other candidates, are ridiculous. They're stupendously ignorant.
They're clown shoes.
They don't know what they're doing. They have no chances. They don't know. They don't even know whether there's air conditioning in a room. I have the best air conditioning in my campaign halls of any presidential candidate. I am the best air conditioning president God has ever made.
What brand of air conditioners do you use?
Trump air conditioner.
Trump air. What makes them better?
We've got giant machines outside of all my buildings, and what it's got on the side of the building, it's giant air compressors, and they say Trump on each and every one of them. We don't do them for small buildings because none of my small buildings are small. They're not small, they're large. Even my small buildings are large. My large big buildings are the largest.
Will you explain to me or actually just describe your smallest building?
My smallest building is the most successful small building in the history of New York, and I sold it for $15 million to a Chinese person.
I thought it was a co-op.
Pardon me?
A co-op.
You know. I own co-ops, apartments, office buildings. Mine are all that you can tell when you walk. You know why? You know you're in a Trump building. You know how you can tell?
How? Why is that?
The doors open, and you look up and go, wow. This is the best building I've ever been in.
What makes your building?
Isn't this great?
What makes Donald? What makes your building so good?
The lady will have linguine with white clam
sauce. Now you're just being silly.
And a Coke with no ice. I love Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Describe that movie to me. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Oh, a very successful picture. But, you know, I think it's great. You know, it's got the kids and a mall and California and burger joints.
What about the girl getting out of the pool?
Okay, you're trying to get me in trouble. I thought Phoebe Cates was a very talented actress. I wish I'd had an opportunity to have her in the Miss USA pageant.
Now,
she
was
very, very successful.
Let me play
talented.
Devil's advocate for a second.
Yes. Hold on. Devil's what?
Okay, let me be the bad guy.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Bad
go
guy,
ahead.
Bad guy.
Okay, what if in the odd off chance you don't snag the nomination?
Now, hold on. I have to stop you because you're going to be like so many journalists who are saying, I'm not going to win. You don't understand. This is a fact. I'm willing on your show on TMOS.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, I thought it was Trump Makes Odd Music.
Because music starts with S?
I'm sorry, I messed it up.
Sound.
It's early today.
Trump makes odd sounds.
Sound would be the way.
Trump makes odd sounds.
All right,
thank you.
Let me rephrase the question.
Let me rephrase that bit. We should start all over so we can edit that. Trump makes odd sounds. Yes, thank you for pointing out that it was an S and not an M for music.
Let me rephrase the question. When you become president of the United States.
Yes, when I become president.
Who will run your failed Scottish golf course?
My golf course will be the most successful in Scotland. And the problem is the people over there don't know about success. They're more than happy to have sheep in their streets and have no successful big buildings and high rises. And that's why Scotland has been number two next to England for all those years. That's what it is.
When you're building this golf course in Scotland, can you describe the caddies?
The caddies are very knowledgeable. They know the game of golf. The game of golf was invented in Scotland.
Right.
Back in the day. They know the game. And they know that I will bring success to the island, and I will make sure that that we have the most successful, beautiful, and luxurious, there's another word.
It's a big one.
luxurious golf course in the Scotland country.
I'm actually looking here. Is it true that the game of golf was invented by Angus McTrump?
I believe if you look back, my ancestors were very tied into the people that, well, I won't say that my ancestors invented golf, Rob, but I will tell you that we made it more successful.
In what That's way? What,
I can't elaborate. Oscar Santana, we have a question. Yes,
yes
go
please.
Ahead.
I'm curious because the shining bright spot in your campaign is the possible future first lady.
Yes.
Your beautiful wife.
Melania.
What does she think?
What's her name?
Melanoma. Melania.
Melania is her name.
Melania,
don't you call her Mel?
Mel? No, I don't. I don't call her Mel. She's beautiful. Her name is beautiful. And she's very, very talented and very successful and a very astute businesswoman who's had great big good success. Yes, Oscar.
I'm curious what she thinks of your presidential bid, how it'll affect her life.
Well, but let me tell you something about Melania. Melania is someone who actually said to me, I don't understand why you let all these knuckleheads run for president when you're smarter and harder working and more successful and a better lover than any of these other and bigger. And I don't want to elaborate on that.
Hey, watch it. Don't look at the camera.
These
I hate
are my
when you
Trump
do that.
Eyes.
Hate when you do that.
Thank you.
And apparently this is a video phone.
Yeah.
Melania was at the head of the line and told me right before we were coming down there, this is the best decision you've ever made, Donald, and you're going to win because you don't lose. And then I said, make sure you go four steps down on the escalator when we're going down to the speech.
Now,
you'll notice there was separation
yes.
between us when we went down.
That was a good look.
Now, you were very, very enthusiastic that we call you first thing this morning. What is on your mind about your campaign that you need to communicate?
I thought you were going to say I was enthusiastic that I wanted you to call me the first thing because I will be the first thing when I'm president.
Well, no,
I'll be the first guy. I'll be the number one. That's what I've always wanted to be.
Mel is going to be the first lady. You're going to be the president. You're not the first anything.
Yeah, okay, details. What I wanted to tell you was that what does every little boy in New York or anywhere else aspire to be in the United States. It's president of the United States. Mm. That's the number one. That's the coveted position. That's the win. That's the big win.
Why is the president, the position of president, so important?
Because the president can make decisions that are good and strong and successful that will make America great again. And I have to, I'm going to say right now that this is without any hesitation whatsoever, I will be the best and strongest and good president, the best, hold on, I will be the best, most hardworking and good, solid, spectacular president that anybody has ever seen since the dinosaurs.
Well, there weren't presidents back then.
Well, let's go more. Breaking news. I'm more successful than the dinosaurs. They're extinct.
And you are not.
That's right. Yes, so go ahead, Oscar. Yes.
You just had one of these top-tier nominations break, you know, ever
flew
with the show. The Jean Renoir hairpieces and wigs system has now put their support behind your campaign. What do you think about that?
Well, that's because they're probably wanting to be a more successful business. And if you attach yourself to the Trump name and the Trump hair, you can make fun all day long. This is real hair. I defy anybody to tug on it, pull it, and see if it comes out. It won't come out.
So,
however, yes.
The toupee company attached themselves to you, but are you, in fact, attached to your toupee?
I am not. I do not wear a toupee. It is my real hair. I invite you to come on the campaign trail, Rob. Pull on my hair to see if it's real. I have a full amount of normal hair on
human
the top
hair?
Of my head. Yes, it's human hair.
Can you describe it for me?
You can see it on television. Why do I have to describe my hair? That's the hair I'm very proud of.
Taiwanese hair?
Yes. Look, I've had my real hair for years. I lost some of my other hair when I was a younger man, and I'd rather not talk about that because it was a traumatic experience.
Was it an accident?
Well, it was basically all pubic hair.
Oh, God.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I like the snow. I like it when it snows here in New York City, and people who don't like snow are whining babies. And it's good for New York City because it, well, it covers up the crime scenes. But the driving conditions are going to be nightmarish, so be extra careful while texting.
Hey, this is something to consider if you're single and living on the East Coast. With all the bad weather and people expecting to be cooped up, some New Yorkers and Bostonians have been turning to Craigslist to find what they're calling blizzard companions. People have posted ads looking for blizzard boyfriends and girlfriends. Mostly girlfriends, let's be honest. But what a great idea that is. You can either freeze to death or you can be murdered in a stranger's apartment. As a general rule, if you wouldn't sleep on a futon you found on Craigslist, you probably shouldn't sleep with the person you found there either.
Blizzard-like conditions here in the city. Stay in your seats until each row has been plowed, all right? Historic storm, it's bad. I went through a Central Park. My hand to God, this is a true story. I saw a squirrel putting salt on his nuts.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now here's Rob.
Thank you, Dude Walker, and from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show. Heard daily at MikeOMaraShow.com, online, on air, and on your mobile device. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. Well, folks, the good news is that Snowmageddon 2016 is over, and we all survived it. However, Rob, that's me. I'm stuck in Leesburg. Oscar is stuck at his parents' house in Olney, Maryland, and Pony is stuck at the Philip Morris headquarters in Richmond. So today we have for you a best of while we get dug out. The snowfall, I'm sure you've seen it on television. It's all over Facebook. Just ridiculous. I got 34 inches in Leesburg. And the kids want to kill each other. The kids want to kill me. I want to kill the kids. It's good fun. So we're going to get dug out, and we'll be back with a brand new Mike O'Mara Show for you tomorrow on Tuesday. But until then, please enjoy the... Oh, let me get this. Hello?
Good afternoon. This is Wade Byard, the Public Information Officer for Loudoun County Public Schools. Because of the continuing snow emergency, Loudoun County Public Schools will be closed Monday, January 25th. All administrative offices also will be closed. To repeat. Loudoun County Public Schools will be closed on Monday, January 25th. Stay warm, stay safe.
Warm and safe.
And we'll be back to you as conditions warrant.
Warrant is a good band.
Please press start to listen to the message again.
Thank you, Wade. And as I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted. Back in studio tomorrow, Tuesday, with a brand new Mike O'Mara Show with our entire Blizzard recaps. Don't miss it. Until then, enjoy the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
We have a wonderful, beautiful celebrity guest in studio with us today. She has written a book, Shirley I Jest, A Storied Life. I love the title of this book. It is Cindy Williams. You remember Laverne and Shirley. For those of you that are younger in our audience, I should say, kids, in a land long ago, far, far away, there were three channels.
That's it.
And if you had a hit show on one of those channels, you were a god, or a goddess in this case. Cindy Williams joins us now, and Cindy, we're delighted to have you with us. Thanks for coming by on your swing through our nation's capital.
Thank
How
you.
Are you today?
Oh, I'm fine, Mike. You know that postage.com is sounding mighty good, and when I'm out of here, that's directly where I'm going.
Way to shill the sponsor.
You'll love
that's
it.
Great.
It's
we
good
appreciate
stuff.
That. You know, it's funny because with Laverne and Shirley and... I go back to the iconic film American Graffiti, which was the vehicle that really put you on the map. And I think that there were young men all over America that kind of loved the, you had that girl next door vibe coming from American Graffiti. You were Ron Howard's girlfriend of
yes.
American Graffiti, and I remember that.
Yes.
Everybody,
yep.
everybody
yeah.
wanted to be your boyfriend back when that movie came out,
well,
right?
I don't know how you mean that, but I'm taking it in a very dignified way.
Sure. It was great.
Yeah,
that was
not the part I wanted to play, though. I wanted the Candy Clark role, Debbie, the bad girl.
Oh, the fast girl.
Yeah, the fast
girl.
Thank
yeah.
you. Yes.
But everybody rooted for you in American Graffiti.
Well, so, I guess so, yeah.
yeah.
But, it was a weepy character, and I thought it was going to be more fun to play that role. And when they offered the part to me, well, when they wanted me to come in and screen test, I said, well, what about this role? And they said, well, it's already cast, Candy Clark. And she was brilliant in the part and so much fun to watch. So
I just remember that. And, you talk about, I think, or I've read about the soundtrack of American
yes.
Graffiti that... I don't want to make this all about, back in my
That's
day,
okay.
I really don't want to make it like
kerosene
that.
Kerosene lanterns and yes, horses sir. And buggies.
60 miles to school.
Therefore, I walked.
The albums and having the physical vinyl albums, and you would go to your friend's house and your friend's
That's
friend's
right.
house. And
yes.
you go, and everybody had the same albums. It was just American Graffiti. It was, it was Cat Stevens. A lot of people had
Frampton Comes Alive.
Yeah, Peter Frampton.
But the American Graffiti, when you talked about the nostalgia of the 50s in that era, that album, it was just such an iconic piece of pop culture, and the movie was iconic as well. And it was just, I remember it's such a, I don't know, it felt like a good time.
It seems like the nostalgia train usually is about a 20 to 25 year delay. And so you got the 50s nostalgia in the 70s. But is it not true that American Graffiti had the first soundtrack that was built entirely of real music? It wasn't a score. It was all records from the era.
That's what he, and the only artist he could not get the rights to was Elvis.
What a jerk.
Elvis. It wasn't Elvis. It was the Colonel.
Oh, it was the Colonel.
Who said no?
Okay.
That's right. Who said nyet? And George Lucas, who wrote and directed the film. It was his first film.
Whatever happened to him?
We have to look that up later, Rob. He described to Ron Howard and myself right before we started the film, he described the music in the film as another character, and he described the film as a musical. You'll like this, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, because the music will never stop while the, except for when the source of the music is gone, i.e. the car has been stolen because or it crashes at the end. And
right.
And I just thought that was brilliant.
And being a, you know, a wannabe DJ back in the days, you know, with Wolfman Jack in there and just having
that voice from somewhere.
It was mysterious, mystical. Yeah, and it's just, you know, and having you on the show, I make a list of films that I want to watch with my daughters and my young son, and I have to remember to add American Graffiti to the list because it's just I think it's a terrific a look back. But of course, you know this. You've been dealing with this stardom for your entire career, and that of course is Laverne and Shirley, a spinoff of Happy Days, and the Gary Marshall pitched them to make a spinoff with you and Penny Marshall, and then kaboom, right? And then everything truly exploded, and your life was never the same after that.
Lightning in a bottle, I guess. Mm-hmm. Well, Penny and I were writers at the time, pardon me, together, and we and that's when her brother called us and said, I've got these two characters on Happy Days that date the fleet. And I thought that he was talking to Penny. He said, I thought you and Cindy would be right for these characters and come over and play them. And Penny and I had never seen Happy Days. I didn't own a TV at the time, and she wasn't sure about it. I don't think she had watched it because it was right in the beginning of Happy Days. And so we said, sure. And we went over and we played these characters the way we read them, you know, girls who date the fleet. And we were smoking during, you know, our first rehearsal. We came in smoking, chewing gum, fixing each other's bra straps, you know, and then Jerry Paris, and taking each other's pin curls out of each other's hair. And Jerry Paris, who was directing the show at the time, when we first came on, he said, stop, this is Family Hour. You can't smoke in Family Hour. We had no idea what Family Hour was. And we said, okay. Oh, and we flicked the cigarettes, the lit cigarettes across the stage at the camera. All hell broke loose. And so we had to tone it down. So
you're talking about joining, and I'm curious about this because I didn't know that. When you guys came in as characters on the original show, Happy Days,
right?
Was it just getting moving? So it was relatively soon after Happy Days, or did you guys pop in when it had already become the national phenomenon that I remember it was?
Yes, but it was early on. But yes, because I believe Happy Days also was an overnight, you know, hit.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
Yeah, but it may have been the second season of the show.
It was a wonderful time, I remember, for there was so much, you know, they call it must-see TV, but there was so much great television during that time, and it was different TV. I probably would get all my dates messed up if I told you, but I seem to remember like All in the Family, and then Mary Tyler Moore, and Laverne and Shirley, and Happy Day. I mean, around that time, all these shows were floating around, and it was just a great time.
As a 7-year-old, and I mentioned this to Cindy before the show, when I would plan out my TV viewing of the week, and yes, I did. It started.
At seven?
Yeah, it started.
Oh, he's not right.
not right in the head.
Not quite normal. You're dealing with somebody right now. I mean, this is Rob. I'm excited to have you on the show. Rob's out of his mind to have you on the show. I have to be honest.
But it started with Tuesday night on ABC because you had that lineup. You had Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, then ultimately Three's Company, and I think Barney Miller. I mean, how do you beat those 2 hours of television?
Yeah, and Welcome Back, Cotter.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I want to remind everybody we're talking to Shirley, Cindy Williams. The book is Shirley I Jest, A Storied Life from Laverne and Shirley. I think I heard you guys talking before we started rolling today about Shirley's doing some stuff here in D.C.
Yeah, she's doing a few book signings, so grab a pen and paper. Today she'll be at the City Club. That's 555 13th Street Northwest. That's at 5:30. Come by and get your book signed. Tomorrow she'll be at Bus Boys and Pellets. That's in Tacoma Park. What's it?
Poets.
Oh, Bus Boys and Poets. Yes. Forgive me.
Pellets.
That makes so much more sense.
Did you say Bus Boys and Pellets?
Yes. I plan
Bus right, Boys and Pellets. Were they going to sell rabbit food there or something? What the hell is
he's it? He's excited.
I thought it was, you know, for a small, like, it's larger than a BB gun. Bus Boys and Poets, of course. How silly of me. Tacoma Park, 6:30 tomorrow. And Thursday, she'll be at the American Newswomen Club, and that's at noon. So come on by. That'd be
okay,
great.
Okay. Cindy, I want to ask you about I did a bit of reading about the history of Laverne and Shirley, and just when I get done with this just little spiel here, stop me and tell me whether I'm full of crap or whether I've got it fairly right here.
All right,
okay?
But you're not going to go on a rant on Facebook about that, are
no,
you?
No, no. I promise you, I will not do that today. I'm not going to do that. Maybe down the road after you're long gone from the studio.
Alrighty, we won't have...
So you write a book. Your book is a very nice memoir talking about your life, your career, your relationships. It's not one of those dig the dirt, try to get more attention that you, than you've already gotten by saying crappy things about people. I would be right about that.
That's
right?
Absolutely right.
Now, and the second part of this is, I'm just doing this to set up my question.
Okie dokie.
The second part of this is that after Laverne and Shirley, a lot of the material that came out about that show and behind the scenes and backstage is that you guys were all just bat-ass crazy on that show. That there was stuff going around where they heard screaming from the Happy Days set because you guys were right next door. So where do we... and you still have a good relationship with Penny Marshall now.
Oh, yeah. Right? She's that, one of my best friends.
You get along with her very, very well.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very, very cool, especially, I think, for fans of the show, people
yes.
like that. So where do we meet these two roads of craziness on the set and writing a nice little sweet memoir about your storied life? Is that a question or maybe
a
statement?
Yeah, it is. It's a long answer to that. However,
okay, go ahead.
To try and be concise, which I can never be, I set about to write just happy things. Just I did not want any bad thoughts left in the reader's mind when they were about anyone in the book when they put it down. And so I just wanted to write something funny. Perhaps it made people laugh out loud. And that's what. And I had been so blessed being able to have this career and all the doors that opened for me. I'm sure you know about this. Meet all these incredible people in my life and have these incredible adventures with them. And that's what I wanted to write and share with the reader. The stuff that went on Laverne and Shirley, and especially the people who would pick up my book, which I would assume would be fans of the show,
right.
They're happy people, and they're in it for the fun. And why would I want to throw people I really, in the end, love with all my heart under the bus to hang out our dirty laundry? Because I'll just say this. Penny and I are both Sicilian. And so there were, aren't you Irish?
Yes, I'm very,
all right,
very
so
Irish,
that
yes.
temperament.
You can tell by the monitor in front of you.
I can tell. The pot of gold. And so we would, and we're very different and very alike, all simultaneously. And we would have differences, and they'd be major differences and sometimes loud differences. And they go into things that you would have had to have been there. I could never explain to you in a thousand years. Because
right.
you would have had to have been there. But we did have major differences, and we did yell at each other. But at the same time, we would go out on the stage and be in the same place at the same time. You couldn't slip a playing card in between us. And there was so much respect, you know, in that. And our, you know, our minds worked alike, and they worked differently, and that worked for the show. I mean, she's very athletic. I'm agile. She can dance. I can sing. We both go about things. We would attack a certain scene, let's say, and I'd come about it slowly, and she'd be right there on the first mm-hmm. day. And because of that, things would get, you know, a little crazy. But in the end, we both wanted to make people laugh, and we had to do that together. So
I think you can watch the show, and that comes through.
The Best of O'Mara.
Something that fascinated me when I read it was that, and you can tell me whether it's true or not, that many, many times regarding rehearsals, there wouldn't be a rehearsal before you guys would jump in, and that the words "wing it" might be used. And if that is true, not only do I think that's kind of cool, but I think it actually speaks to your ability and your talent combined with Penny Marshall, and I want to know, was that true? Were there some times where you just riffed in that form, which was unusual to do that for sitcoms at that point?
Not a lot, but we would, if the script would come in and it wasn't to our liking, this was another reason we'd get in trouble and there'd be screaming, we would change it. Because we were writers ourselves, we'd change it, and we wouldn't even ask the writers, and this is horrible, and I apologize if anyone wrote on Laverne and Shirley and is listening to the Mike O'Mara show.
They all do.
And I'm sure they all do.
Yes. Comedy writers across
the country. But we would, and we'd change things during rehearsal, and the show was constantly changing because we shot it in one day, but we rehearsed for 4 days, 5 days before that. So it was like a stage play. We had an audience, over 200 people come in on the final day, and we ran the show from beginning to end. And there would be times we just wouldn't know our lines. I mean, I'd turn to her before we'd be off stage and we were supposed to enter, and I'd say, "Do you know your lines?" She'd go, "No." "You know yours?" I said, "No." And they say, "Action." And we just go out there. And I remember there were times where I'd think, only Jesus can make this joke work. And I have to pray really hard. And I know Penny felt the same way, but we our egos wouldn't allow us to not make it, at least try to make it funny. And sometimes a script wouldn't come in funny, and we just try in our most earnest way to make it funny. And sometimes we would riff. But hopefully, there were only a couple times I caught it on the show that we were off script, and we added things here and there,
okay,
but not
that's
much.
A good answer.
Not
right.
much.
You didn't do it that much. Yes, go ahead, Rob.
One thing Mike talks about on this show, and I think we all try our best to, is to commit. And I watched a lot of clips of you guys last night. Especially, I didn't remember so much physical comedy. And you mentioned that you're agile and that Penny was athletic. When you would go in and commit to doing those physical bits, when you're up in the air or hanging on a wall or hung on a coat hook, did you come up with any of that action, or was that handed to you, or how did that come around?
Well, Rob, the coat hook was Penny's idea. She goes, "I just see us on a hook." And you could say anything to Gary Marshall, and you could say, "I want to flip quarters with my tongue." And he'd go, "We'll write a show about it." And they would. And the whole show would lead to that one physical bit about flipping quarters. We
write
didn't do that.
Show.
But I wanted to do a scarf dance. I wanted to do this. I said, "I just want to dance with a scarf." What I wanted was, and I didn't communicate it correctly, was a large, you know, that scarf dance that is in Music Man, where they do one Grishanern, two Grishanerns with the ladies. And that's kind of what and they wrote this scarf dance for me.
Flitting around the soundstage.
But they just would write in the script, "You'll like this, Mike." They would just write, "Scarf dance, Shirley scarf dances." And I would invent it, you know, during rehearsal.
How much fun as a performer? My God.
The girls are hung on hooks and by a bad guy. Yeah. And then Penny and I would invent it. And the way we did that one was we brought in a big mirror, and they hung us on the hook during rehearsal. And we saw all the funny things we could do, like running, trying to run off the hook.
It was so
and
great.
We said, "Make it so we cannot get off this hook. Don't let it be easy to get off this hook." So they did. And we were on that. And then we actually really tried to get off the hook. And that's what made the physical comedy so funny.
Is it hard for you over the years? And I think I've asked this of other people that have had amazing success in series television. When you become identified with a character, when you are completely associated with Shirley all the time, wherever you go, and for years and years and years, I would imagine inevitably that would be frustrating. You seem to handle it with a tremendous amount of grace. I have seen performers who did not handle it, did not like it, did not like to be associated with it. What is the key to that, and what would you tell people that might have a problem with being identified with their characters on a successful TV program?
Are you kidding me? It's a blessing from God, and it's not like I played Hannibal Lecter. You know, so people don't expect that from me. They expect they come at me with their fun self, and it's the best part, and with their humor, and it's just a blessing all the way around. I did lose parts because I was too identified.
Princess Leia was a part that you lost, right?
Well,
didn't you audition?
But not
you auditioned. You auditioned for that, right?
I did. Wow. But I had a dream. I write about it in the book. I had a dream that George was looking at me, and he was looking at this young girl who was playing with dolls. And he said, I like her. And I knew that the part was going to be, and I didn't know Carrie at the time. Mm-hmm. But I knew that he was going to give the part to a younger girl. And that's what he had always intended. He had intended for like 14-year-olds to play Han Solo. Okay, well, Han Solo was going to be like 16. And Luke and Princess Leia and all those characters. He wanted very young kids to play those parts in the beginning.
You worked with, I understand exactly what you're saying. You wanted to skew it a little bit younger. You work with so many of these, you know, and you have to put them both in different categories, but they're both geniuses, Gary Marshall and George Lucas. And these type of guys seem to be gravitate to you a bit. I would imagine Gary Marshall has always been one of the most fascinating people.
Larger than life, man.
In media. I mean, I just, you know, with even when you, and I wish, you know, the only thing I wish for Gary Marshall, we had seen more of him on camera. Anybody that wants to know Gary Marshall, check out a movie called Lost in America with Albert Brooks and Gary Marshall as the casino boss. It is one of the fracturingly funny scenes on film. And apparently, from what I've read about Gary Marshall, he's kind of that way behind the scenes, too. Well, how you are? What are you doing? Yeah. Come on. You never,
the whole thing with Gary is never be around him when he eats, because he eats with his mouth open. You never want him to order an egg salad sandwich. That's all I have to say about Gary. But Gary is phenomenal. I mean, you're absolutely right. Geniuses, both of them. You know why? G names.
That's
so
it.
Always, we're out of luck, all of us.
That's true.
Oscar's not going to work.
So with you, and then you have Penny, who goes on to have tremendous success with movies like Big.
Right.
And they have this this ability to kind of figure things out. I would imagine, and I'm not asking you to dish any dirt here, but I'm curious. Would they butt heads, brother and sister style, in back in the days of Laverne and Shirley, because you know, because of the closeness?
No.
They didn't butt heads.
No. Never. Mm-mm.
Really?
No.
They just would they collaborate a lot, or would he just like present the stuff? I'm interested the way
you mean
Gary
on
Marshall
Laverne and Shirley?
Yeah, Laverne and Shirley.
No. Gary was very respectful of his sister. He understood. He has an eye for talent, and he knew his sister was talented like that, that she had a, you know, bigger than life talent. And he championed it all the way from, you know, I mean, he had his sister's back, and she his. And he'd get mad at Penny and me, you know, down on the set every
come
now
on,
and then.
Come on, what are you doing? Learn your lines. No. Come on.
Gary's a very affable fellow, you know.
Okay. He's mellower than he would seem as characters,
right? Yeah. And if you watch Laverne and Shirley, if you're a Gary Marshall actor fan or a fan of his acting, watch Laverne and Shirley, and always in the talent show, see who the drummer is in the band.
Oh, no
it's
kidding.
It's always Gary, yeah. He's the drummer
fantastic.
In the band.
That's really cool. We are talking with Cindy Williams. The book is available at Amazon.com. Shirley, I Jest, A Storied Life. I don't know whether you want to talk about this because you want to keep it on the high road. But when you left Laverne and Shirley, not under the best terms, you had to play hardball with the powers that be. Was that a difficult time in your life when you had to you got pregnant, right?
Right.
You got pregnant and you left the show in the... Is it the ninth season or the eighth season?
Eighth.
I'm trying. Eighth. The eighth season.
The bottom of the eighth. Eighth, Mike.
I don't know a lot about this. It's just from what I've read. Mm-hmm. Did you have to play hardball with them to get yourself, extricate yourself from that situation? You wanted to move on at that point, right?
Well, that isn't exactly right. They gave me my final season contracts, and they had me... And I was pregnant, and they had me working on my due date. And I said, you know, shooting a show, actually, on the day I was due to deliver my baby. And I said, oh, fellas, this might not work. And I thought we were going to do wraparound shows, which means I come in the beginning, and then the rest of the cast does the bulk of the show. And then I come in at the end, and they hide my pregnancy. But I was one of the first actresses to be pregnant, you know, and doing a high-profile show. And they didn't know what to do with me. That's what I figured in the end. And so it just went back and forth, and I couldn't sign the contract. And finally, I push left. You know, I mean, they kind of...
You sued the bastards, Cindy. You sued the bastards. That's it. Those sons of bitches that used you like a toilet, you sued them. That's what it was, right? That's the fact. They deserved what they got.
And I believe that's a quote from the book, isn't it?
Frickin' A, Mike. Yeah. Mike. I want you going on Facebook this afternoon.
That's your rant.
Tell them just that.
Mike, I have a quick question, if you don't mind.
Yeah, real quick. Go ahead.
Quick compliment and a quick question. One, my compliment to you is your show has transcended generations, especially in syndication. One of my fondest memories is watching your show with my mother. We were immigrants to this country, and we'd watch it together on the
local
bus.
You learned English.
No, we didn't. Okay. We didn't. But I remember sitting, and I would sit at the end of the bed, and I would always change the channels for her, but every time we landed on your show, she said, we have to watch.
Oh,
that's
so
we'd
cool.
Sit there
oh,
and
what
watch.
A compliment. Thank you,
so that's
Rob.
One. And two, I wanted to ask you about what you think today's state of Hollywood is.
No, Oscar.
It's fine.
Sorry.
Today's state of Hollywood is so overexposed. When you were, when Laverne and Shirley hit, what was it like to walk out on the street? And because being a star today is so, it's kind of like, oh, I've seen you on TV, I've seen you on the internet. But being a star then, you would really see, they would see Cindy on TV. And then if they saw Cindy on the street, it'd be huge, it'd be a moment, a big moment.
Well, Penny and I had no idea of the success of the show or how many people it reached in the beginning because we were working on the show and we thought it was going to be four on, four off because the ABC had picked it up for four shows on the air. Penny and I just thought, oh, well, we'll get our money for four shows and then we'll be out of here.
Wow.
And then it became this phenomenon, overnight success. And I remember us looking on a table and there was a Wall Street Journal. It was just me and Penny on the soundstage and one of the writers had left it. And the headline was, Laverne and Shirley send ABC stocks through roof. And wow. I said, what do you think that means? And she goes, through the roof. Anyway, but we had no idea. And we were on the soundstage for the first,
season,
thank you, of the show. And the first time we really got out was to go, and we never clubbed. People said, oh, you must have clubbed. We went home to sleep after. But we were in the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day parade, and we were on this float, and we were coming down the street, and this crowd started running toward us, and we looked behind us to see who they were running toward, and they were running toward us, and that was the first time we said, whoa, this is something,
wow.
And then we had people outside the hotel for our autographs, and Penny and I had never, that was the first experience, but the fans of Laverne and Shirley are so wonderful, and have the greatest senses of humor about themselves and, just everything. And they're just the greatest people. So it was always a blessing and an honor to have, that audience.
Perfect.
So
last
cool.
question I want to ask you, and I ask this because maybe because we got involved in a book project ourselves, but I'm curious about this. Anybody who buys this book, what do you want them to get out of this book? What know about you, know about your career? What do you want people to read this book to? What kind of ride do you want them to have?
I want them to have the same ride I had with all my adventures in life. And I set about to try and take the reader with me. And I was just hoping, honestly, to entertain the reader. That was it. There was nothing. There was no personal message except come on this adventure with me. It was I see it the same way you would have seen it if you were right here with me.
Well, that's wonderful.
It's a great book. It's a wonderful book.
Surely I just a storied life. And the last thing I will say to you is that when we talked about American Graffiti at the beginning, we'll talk about there was a teenage boy in Glastonbury, Connecticut that watched American Graffiti and you really did entertain me.
Easy.
I'm sorry.
I don't mean it in that bad.
I mean shit. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Please.
Blue humor. Don't put that on Facebook.
God, that's everything terrible. Was going so well.
No. Get it at Amazon.com. Surely I just a storied life. I know you got to get to your TV interview. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mike. One more thing. Thanks, Rob and Oscar. Thank you very much. Yeah, Mike.
And the way we do it, thank you. That's Cindy Williams, everybody.
The best of O'Mara.
All right, so here's the deal. My sister has a boat.
And
a what?
A boat.
Boat.
And I get to use my sister and my brother-in-law's boat, and it's one of the really neat things. I sold my boat. I don't have one anymore.
Right.
And I'm very, very excited about one of the deals being I get to use their boat when the family members that operate the boat aren't around, but I have to train my sister to operate the boat. So we're having a little our first lesson yesterday.
Mm.
And when you're up here on the Maine coastline, a lot of people, let me give you a little background on Maine boating here. When you drive the highways and byways of the coastal regions of Maine, you'll go by these bucolic little harbors that you'll see, and you see all these boats out in the harbor, and it's not like I've experienced boating before. Usually you have maybe a slip or you tie your boat up to a dock.
Sure.
These are all moorings. So you have a float that's out in the middle of a harbor, and you tie your boat up to it. People that know nautical are laughing at me right now because I'm giving you information you probably already know. But you tie your boat out in the harbor to a line, and then you row in a dinghy out to the boat. And that's how you do this.
And that's why they wrote the song about row, row, row your boat. That's how you
gently
get
down the stream.
Very gently. No, no.
In my case, it's just a harbor.
But it's a beautiful sight, and we've seen this up there before, is that the boats, yes, they when they are not being used, they are just tied and in the middle of the water, and it's gorgeous. It's a beautiful thing to see.
It's gorgeous. And then at the dock are all these little bitty dinghies. Some of them substantial, like for the work boats, these big wooden things, which I kind of wish I had. And then there are little ones. And one of the manufacturers of a little bitty dinghy, it is called a puffin.
Oh.
Is there anything that sounds more fluffy and poppy and light as a feather than a puffin?
It sounds like a baked good, but it's actually a bird, isn't it?
It is a puffin.
A puffin.
A puffin dinghy. Sorry, isn't that exciting? It's called a puffin.
Puffin.
And if you look up the puffin picture of the bird, it's kind of a squat toucan-looking bird, but it's a little rounder and it's a little more, you know, it's just a puffin.
Puffin.
Puffin. Lovely little puffin. And so the puffin dinghy is constructed entirely of fiberglass, and it is extremely buoyant. And the boat can accommodate a little over 300 pounds.
Ah.
And I'm here to say that I am well short of that, so I'm very happy. But I'm still, you know, I think if you put another person in the puffin dinghy with me, it might be problematic.
Yeah, even if it was Ant-Man. I mean, it would get
exactly. It might be a little difficult. So the puffin dinghy and I do not have a great relationship. And as a matter of fact, puffin dinghies for years around here, you've heard the stories about men of larger carriage and maybe men not so large have had a little issue because they are so buoyant. Now, they row like a dream. They do very, very well. But getting in and getting out is a bit of an issue for me.
Sure.
Maybe you guys have even seen me get in and out of
these things.
Yeah,
it's really awkward.
It's very awkward.
Yeah, and you're mad as well, so that makes it even more tense because you're mad at the dinghy, and then you're like trying to balance yourself so you don't fall over. It's a whole thing.
I do recall
it's problematic.
What happened is when you were halfway through the process, you using words that I would never use around my mother and blaming the tides.
Yes.
You say,
well,
the tides,
here it is.
The tides.
So they have one, and it's been a bit of a chore. Even though I lost some weight, I have a bad relationship, and now it's kind of like when an athlete has a bad spell in baseball or any sport. It's gotten into my head.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday it was in my head, and my job was to bring the boat in, pick her up at the dock, and we were going to practice docking the boat. She did a very nice job.
Good.
And then I dropped her off, and I was off to the mooring where I had the dinghy tied up, and I was going to bring the the dinghy back in after I tied the boat up. And so no problem. During the course of our little excursion, they've had some weather up here, and the weather really started to blow in. And the harbor started to be filled with
probably 3 to 3.5 foot rollers, as we call the waves up here. It's on that side. Yeah, they were pretty big, and they were coming in directly off the ocean, and it was a little testy to get out there. So when I'm rowing the puffin dinghy back out to the boat, it's calm as anything. But when I moor the boat and get the puffin dinghy off the mooring line where it's attached, the boat was bouncing to the extent where the stern was coming out of the water. So you're getting a fluctuation that's just like 3, 3.5 to 4
Can you
and a half
estimate
feet.
The weight of the puffin? Because if it's fiberglass and it's a dinghy, the boat probably weighs almost nothing.
4 ounces, Rob. It weighs four. The puffin dinghy weighs approximately 4 ounces.
A Dixie and cup.
So they will tell you, I was online last night. This is how traumatized I was. I was online last night looking up proper ways to do this because obviously I am a little unstable on this thing.
Sure.
To do it. But the way I've always understood it is the best way to do it is you put you back into the dinghy and you put your first foot in the center of the dinghy so as to center your weight. But I got news for you. I'm 56 years old, and I am not the graceful athlete that I once was, okay? And so I'm fine if it's calm. I'm barely fine if it's calm. I'm barely fine. It involves me swinging my fat ass over into the dinghy and then clinging to the existing boat to stabilize myself and mashing the dinghy up against the side of the boat so as to eliminate any extraneous movement.
And
am
also,
I painting an accurate
you
picture?
You are, and I think one of the problems is, even though it is gravitationally the best way to do it, moving backwards can't be easy.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing is based on the fact of the buoyancy of this dinghy where you can put a foot inside of this dinghy. You can actually put a foot in there and lean forward and suddenly the dinghy just shoots out like it's coming out of a cannon.
Like
right?
stepping That's on a skateboard. It can just go out right out from under you.
And I did this once earlier in the season where I landed hard. And the dinghy was over on its side, almost at the waterline, and I righted the ship and then almost lost the oars that were inside the dinghy. Mm. Did I mention there are oars in there, too?
Of course.
There are oars and oar locks. It's a process, okay? Mm. It's a process. It's a process that says maybe boating's not for me. That's the way I want to
No,
look
boating
at
is
it,
for but, you. Boating has always been for you.
But, you know, as Oscar mentioned before, I'm up here in my paradise.
You can first of all, I think that maybe business conversations should be had between men and not women. They get too emotional.
Oh, my God.
They get too emotional.
Oh,
wow.
No.
And I appreciate the fact you took 30 minutes after the fact to bring that up.
Well, if
give her distance to get
put
away.
Put yourself in my position. If Shannon was here and she said that she didn't trust Mike after all the hard years that Mike's put in as far as building a business, that would be a little hurtful.
True.
Right?
You know what? You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
After
right.
all I've
but
done
let's
and
be
sacrificed.
Honest. Let's be honest, right. You would never let Shannon speak.
That's true.
No,
Two, it was easy.
You know what? And I got news for
yes.
you, pal. You know what? It might have hurt me, too. And
it's
that's
fine.
Why I brought her
totally
in. Does that make
fine.
Sense to you?
It does.
Does that make sense to you?
It does.
Two, I found the executed contract that we were talking about, and it rolls over year to year, so it is in perpetuity.
Okay.
And I sent it over to you so you can print it out to her and give it to her and say, hey, here you go. No worries.
I don't feel happy about the beginning of the show.
So
get it. You know what? This is a good time for a break.
The best of O'Mara.
So this has gotten in my head. I can't get it out of my head. And was that my son?
Sounded like him.
Wow. Yeah.
You might want to send him a copy of the paper, too.
Happy day in the neighborhood. So anyway, to make a long story short,
yes.
or as long as possible, I will tell you this. Hold on just a second. I'm going to go get... It's just one of those days.
It
I'm
sure
going to go grab the door. Yeah, I'm going to go grab the door.
Thank you. Yeah. He seems upset.
Little Michael might have just woke up from nap time. It's
sure.
no big deal.
No.
We're good
you
to go.
Come back on the
you know?
Show? Maybe he's surprised.
Maybe yeah. Maybe he was surprised.
Come back on the show.
Time to wake up.
No, please pop back.
What about little Michael?
Feelings have been hurt.
Let's talk to little Michael.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Feelings have been hurt. So
yes. Yes.
Come back on the show for a minute. Come in where everybody can see you. You're smiling. Aww. I want him to see your smiling.
You're very pretty.
Please let me see.
She's off. Oh, that
Jesus.
Whoa.
Oh, whoa, God, it's such a trade up.
Yes.
We have to look at Mike better. Every day.
So much better. Mm-hmm. So much better.
You heard Oscar's
Did
feelings.
Did I hurt your feelings, Oscar?
Well, I thought it was kind of rude what you said, to be honest.
Well, I was just worried. It was just my fear. I'm sorry. That's feelings.
It's okay. But I'm. This is why, and to be fair, I said this to Mike earlier, let the men handle the business. And
oh, God.
I think if you let that happen, things will be okay. No one's feelings will be hurt.
Right.
No emotion will be brought into this will be A-okay.
You know, I think really,
things were almost
okay.
And I found the executed.
You feel better than you do.
I found the executed contract, Carla, which by the way does roll over from year to year. And I sent it to Mike, and I said, "Please put this in a safe place."
Yes.
So okay. He's good to go.
Okay. And to your previous comment, Oscar,
yes.
I totally understand. And f- you.
Nice. Her best appearance yet.
That is called buttoning it up, baby. Wow. That was strong. Let the little lady.
That was wild.
Thank you, little lady. Oh, my God. All right. Let me pull that back in here. So anyway, back to the dinghy.
Yes.
This has been one of those crazy days.
Crazy now, ain't they?
Acting crazy now. I don't care. You know what? It is what it is. I like it sometimes when it spills over. And you know what? This is the kind of stuff that's good. It's healthy.
Sure.
It's I think it's good for everybody. So getting back to the whole dinghy thing. So we have a 3 to 3.5 foot rollers. You guys have seen them up there. You've been up there. You've seen the weather that comes in. And I approach this the same way I would approach being in a sand trap on a golf course. I'm always afraid to hit out of the sand because I'll scull it or I'll do something horrible.
I thought you were going to break the oar over your knee.
No, the thing is, I'm so scared that I try to get it over with as quickly as possible.
Understood.
And that's not the right way to do it. Mm. That is not the way to do things when you're on a boat. You should just go, keep that child quiet.
One All thing right. I remember about the two times I've been up to your places up there, Mike, the place up there, you can literally see weather rolling in. You see it coming down the road, like almost like a truck coming down the street. Is it the kind of thing where you can see the weather coming and so the pressure is on? You are under the gun.
Not in this particular case, although I will tell you that all day yesterday and today, for that matter, it's been fog banks have been coming in and out where it just gets sucked in. But this is the wind I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the boat all moored. I'm ready to get into the puffin. And the puffin is not my friend. The puffin, the toughest transition for me is from the big boat into the puffin. And that's the only one I can handle at the dock. I can handle getting out of the puffin and onto the larger structure.
Dock to
it's
puffin,
getting,
puffin to boat. All great.
The two tough ones are the two tough ones, a little tougher to get from dock into puffin, but excruciatingly difficult to get into moving boat into puffin. Puffin, not my friend, and it's on my mind, and I'm like, well, you're out here, you got 3.5 foot waves in the harbor, but you just have to do this. Now, the difference is when you're getting into the puffin is not going to be right at the waterline. It's going to go all the way down, and then your boat's going to go up into the air, and the puffin's going to go down. It's going to be the perfect storm, okay?
Mm, yes.
And I'm not George Clooney, and that's what's going to happen. So, but I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it as efficiently as I can, and I put my leg into the puffin dinghy, and as soon as I do that, it moves forward, and a money sound. That's what I wanted. My ass slips forward, and then I correct, and I shoot my leg forward, causing my entire body to go backwards, and I land on the oar.
And I
shatter the oar.
The
front part of the oar, that which, by the way, is the means of propulsion for the puffin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I shatter the oar, and it jettisons out towards the harbor, never to be found again. Did I mention the oar is traveling upwind? So in order for me to get... I'm not even thinking about this because now, thank God, the puffin is still attached to the boat. But now I am on my back in the dinghy and the boat is floating about 10 feet off of the big boat with the line attached, thank God. That's why
sure.
you always attach the line.
Right.
But I am sitting there with my legs over the center seat and my back in the middle, and I am feeling this excruciating pain where my arm had
Big
shattered
bruise.
The oar, and I am also trying to grab the other oar, which is doing its level best to make its way out of the dinghy. I'm slightly on the right side, and I am about 2 inches from the water line, and a little water is splashing over into the puffin. I am about to have a fatal heart attack. I am freaked
out of my mind. I'm that scared. I really am.
Now, one question that needs to be asked, has Kathy left or did Kathy watch this go down?
Uh-oh.
Kathy,
yes?
During this entire process, is at the dock doing God knows what. She said, I heard a...
nice.
That's exactly what she's doing. She's on the deck with friends.
She's got her Margaritaville blender on the deck.
Look at my fat brother. Look at my fat brother that's doing that right now. Look, it sounds stupid to get traumatized.
No, it doesn't.
I am so traumatized by this. I don't know. I got to get back on the horse. I have to get back on the horse, but this friggin' little puffin dinghy has my ass is in the bottom, okay?
Right.
And this is when two words pop into my head, like a neon light just burning my brain. Yeah. Those two words are core strength. Nice. Core strength. And I say, you know, buddy, it doesn't matter if you don't think you got it. You got to have it now.
Right.
And my legs are up in the air across this.
Am I the only one who's turned on right now?
Nope.
It is. For a normally fit person, this is not, this is no, well, it's a bit of a deal because you're all off center. But really, for me, it's just a question of you've got to do this. My arm is hurting. I've got one oar in the boat now. The dinghy is floating there. I'm not going to get the dinghy anywhere if I am on my fat ass back in the bottom. Now, this is the second time I have been in this position in one of these effing puffin dinghies because they are made out of balsa wood and they suck. And that's why I'm so frustrated with this. But I said to myself, look, there is nobody out here that's going to help you.
Right.
You might say that this is a little bit tough a task by bringing your massive girth up from the bottom of this boat. And really, for the average person, I'm like this with my... This is, should not be difficult for me.
Right.
But I did it, and it took me two tries to do it because I was so stressed out, and then you get that whole exhaustion thing going.
Sure,
you just,
and panic.
All this adrenaline has shot out of your body, and I reach up, and I pull myself up, and I get on the seat, and when I pull myself up onto the seat, I've been focusing all of my energy on simply hauling my body up.
Right.
I have not been focusing on hauling my body up centered. So
pull
my body up to the seat, and I'm on the right side, and it's this moment where the puffin, with all its wonderful little bird-like buoyancy, goes to the right, and water begins to pour into the dinghy.
Oh. Now, but the good news is that it won't sink, though, right? Even full of water, it probably
won't. I wasn't going to get to that situation. I hurled myself back to the center, and I right the ship, and a little water got in. My shorts are completely soaked with urine.
Of course.
That's what it is.
And it's a shame when you were on your back like that, Mike, and you had your legs spread that you didn't think to have someone check you for HPV.
I know. It was horrible.
It's dangerous because if you fall in the water, the frigid waters.
That's right. Oh, right? That is very
it's cold.
Cold.
It's cold up there. It's cold. But I've got the dinghy attached. I can grab something and I can get myself back to the boat and I can pull myself up on the boat. I know how to do that. But it's still... It's traumatizing. You just don't want to be in that situation.
What I envisioned...
I swear to God, it's on my mind now. I woke up thinking about this.
Sure.
I went to sleep last night thinking about this. I'm traumatized by the fact that I struggle with this part of the dinghy. And I looked online. But by the way, because, occasionally you want to look online. Go to YouTube and say, proper entry and exit from a dinghy. Because you might be doing something.
But sure.
There might be a technique. There might be a little tech. Mm. No, there's nothing. It's like, how to make a dinghy out of plywood. Here are the plans. F you, YouTube. Kiss my Irish ass.
Did
really,
you ever have it, the vision of losing it, falling out of the boat, and having to, paddle, swim the boat back to the dock?
Yeah. You think of all that stuff, and there's nobody in the harbor. It's very, it's a very dense fog day, so nobody's out there doing stuff. And then there's the embarrassment. I've told you guys I always go on one side of the boat so people don't see me.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't want them to see me. And, Kathy's only thing was I heard a loud bang. And then she
did you have to buy new oars?
So true. Well, I had one oar, Oscar. Mm-hmm. And so, Kathy, the next thing, I literally sit in the dinghy for about 5 minutes just composing myself because my hands are shaking. I'm just a delicate flower. And
well,
I
don't blame you.
But the thing is, at the bottom of the dinghy is the very top of the dinghy handle. And the rest of the dinghy is out near, you know, it's basically floating to England. I have
no idea.
Oh, you
mean the oar handle? The oar
handle. The oar handle, yes. I'm sorry, not the dinghy. The oar handle is gone. So I have one oar.
So you had did you have to take it out of the lock and, like, come in, like get your goomy?
Yes.
Just one side, yes. then the other.
Exactly. And Kathy sees, and Kathy's at the dock. And she sees me coming in. And she's, the first thing is, she gives me the Kathy look, which is, you know, where she waves her hands around and it's just like,
what's going on?
What's going on? And then by this time, there's some kids that are at the dock, and I'm not going to yell, you know, I fell in the dinghy and shattered the oar, and the oar's gone, and I almost killed myself.
The kids are selling tickets up there.
And so it was, and so I begin the long journey. Oh, and by the way, the O'Mara family and the Parsley family, our little mooring, our little float in the harbor, I think the guy takes it personally. The guy might not like us because, you know, everybody's got their little boats very close to the dock. Mine is halfway to Canada. That's where they have put my, so I've got a long haul to do this.
Sure.
But the good news is I'm with the wind. So I'm kind of riding these waves as I'm going. And every time with the little buoyant, little puffin bird dinghy that I'm in, every time I take one out, it's a little lean to the left, lean to the right. And I'm not in any danger at this point.
Sure.
But I am still, I'm shaky.
Shook up. Completely shaky.
And I get it around, get close enough to Kathy. And Kathy, how did she ask me? She's like, what happened? And I told her, I said, I broke the oar. And
you mean she didn't see the fall? What was she doing?
Well, she saw it. She said she thought I was just doing it a different way. She's not exactly nautical.
Mike, you're doing it a different way.
Not exactly nautical.
This is the way to get into the boat where you fall and break the oar. It's an awful.
See, the thing is, there's a swim ladder on this dock that I pull the dinghy up to because of my, my lack of athletic ability. So now I mash the dinghy up and I pop out of that. And that one usually goes pretty well. But it's still, you know, you're getting into it. It's like trying to stand on a top.
Yeah,
it's just not, it's not working for me. And so last night I was looking at wooden dinghies to see if there were, I'd like to get like an old maybe $100 a used wooden one. They have lots of those.
Spencer Tracy old man in the sea boat.
That's exactly what, a dory.
Perfect. Yes, exactly.
I'd like a dory. I would like a wooden dory, but they're expensive, so I can't afford those. So it was just, I'm looking and they don't have any of that. You know, when you really need something sometimes and you're surfing online and you're just looking and everything's either too expensive or it's the wrong information or all this. I'm looking at how to get in and out of a dinghy, which is stupid. I've been up here 50 years. I know how to get in and out of a dinghy. It's just the fact that I weigh, you know, 285 pounds. That's the reason I can't get in and out of a goddamn dinghy. And I don't know how I did it last year. I really have no idea how I did it last year.
You were scared to death to do it in front of me and Oscar. At one point, you wouldn't even let us look.
Yeah.
And when you were there, Mike, you were driven by the fear of shame.
I know. Well, this now I've got.
It's like
now
when a kid
fear
picks a car up off their dad because it was something that had
the
to be
adrenaline.
Done. Yeah, the adrenaline made you do it.
All right. Well, anyway, that's the dinghy story, and I got the.
I wish that
little
boy of yours would grow up so he could do the dinghy thing
on
for
your
it.
Arm. Wound. Little,
yeah. That's one of those things. Like in 2 days, it's going to be like I'm abused or something like that.
That's me.
That's right. All right. Hey, hits me. Save some for Mike now.
All right. So Oscar's got a new gadget. All I know the other day.
How much time do we have? Because this is really worth it. That's time, and I'm telling you because there's so many layers to this movement, but I can get into it if you'd like.
Let's save it for tomorrow's show. Let's save it for. Can you give us just a synopsis
there
of
is
a teaser for tomorrow?
That if you need things done, you could go and have a stranger do the work for you. It's called TaskRabbit, and somebody.
Oh, here comes the TaskRabbit
that you don't know signs up to do it.
Hey, I was sent over from TaskRabbit. I was wondering if I could clean out your closets.
Hey, you know, that's great. Mike, if the idea of Uber is not terrifying enough for you, call the TaskRabbit and roll the dice.
Welcome. Welcome to I got to do the lower list.
How'd you find this place?
Need, man. Need.
Welcome to TaskRabbit. I'm your host. Yeah, this is wonderful.
So, I posted a job on TaskRabbit. and I got a response.
Now, is that a victory, or does that make you uneasy?
I will be seeing my Task Rabbit representative on Saturday.
I hope it's not an actual rabbit.
Task Rabbit.
It's a costume.
Hi, I'm your host for Task Rabbit. I'm here with your puffin dinghy.
If they had it in Maine, you could do that. You could hire somebody to actually go and get your boat and pull it back.
Hey, are you from Task Rabbit?
I'm your Task Rabbit person. Can I row that boat out there for you? I don't want to break an oar.
Hey, Task Rabbit, do you know how to fix oars?
Yeah, I'll glue them together. No problem at all. It's my Task Rabbit job for the day. That's what I'm going to do. No problem at all. We got you covered. Here at Task Rabbit. We're the Task Rabbit people. And by the way, all right. You need a contract drawn up? We'll get that for Task Rabbit.
Oh, no.
The best of O'Mara.
News.
Fox's biggest cancellation was American Idol, even though technically there's still going to be one more season. So everybody's talking about that. We all remember when everybody was talking about American Idol.
It was a big deal. It was.
The canceled shows that won't be back on Fox next season include Backstrom, The Following, Glee is gone, Grace Point, Mulaney, Red Band Society, Utopia, and Weird Loners. Where do these shows come from? There's a reason they're canceled. I'd never heard of them.
I watched every episode of Mulaney because he's one of the funniest stand-ups out there, and it was remarkable at how bad his comedy went to a sitcom. I watched it just because it was that bad.
I read that the Mindy Project was also getting canceled.
It is. It's out of here.
It is.
Yeah.
And, a show called A Hieroglyph was dumped without even a single episode airing, and the Mindy Project was also axed, although there's talk of it possibly moving to Hulu.
Hulu.
Oh, I'm there.
Because they're at 63 episodes, then maybe they have to get to 100 for syndication.
100 for syndication, yeah. Although, you know what? If they have a life on Hulu, that's like replacing syndication now.
I would watch it there, though.
Oh, I would, too. I love that show. Mm-hmm.
Good the play. Shows that Fox renewed include Bob's Burgers.
Boo! Anybody? Boo! I hate it. Hate it. Really? Kids terrible love it. Show. It's the only show that they watch that makes me leave the room.
You'll be happy about this. Bones got renewed.
Bones.
Wow. Watch the sexual tension get even smaller.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Has anybody watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
It's an okay show.
That's
it's fun.
The Andy Samberg show? Yeah.
Empire, Family Guy, Gotham, Hell's Kitchen, The Last Man on Earth, MasterChef Junior, New Girl, The Simpsons, Sleepy Hollow, The Simpsons. It's even funny to mention
I know.
About being renewed. Sleepy Hollow and World's Funniest Fails. There's a show I'd look in on.
I like. Do you ever watch MasterChef Junior?
No, I don't.
I love to watch the kids cry.
Really?
Yeah.
You're such a sweetheart. Said, guy. You really are.
These are the worst looking sunny side up eggs I've ever seen.
And Gordon comes on it?
He does, but you know what? He'll be mean a little bit, and then he'll be nice to them, which is kind of sweet. But I like watching kids being put through their paces.
Sorry I made you sob. Now get out of my effing kitchen. Miles Teller and his girlfriend were at the beach in Miami over the weekend. Now, I like Miles Teller because he was in that drumming movie that I like so bad that Cappy told me about. Well, Miles Teller sprang into action. He saw a pregnant woman in the water struggling with a young child, and he helped them to shore, and he took a few minutes to make sure they were okay. Several websites are reporting that the woman and her child were caught in a riptide. But according to a post from Teller's girlfriend, the woman may have panicked because she thought she saw a shark.
Really? Did you see the video of the rescue when he got him on the beach and he actually went up to the kid and he said, "Were you swimming ahead of the tide or behind the tide? Ahead of the tide or behind the tide?"
Teller plays Mr. Fantastic in the upcoming Fantastic Four reboot.
Star is rising.
And he was also in that movie Whiplash that I liked.
Mike O'Mara is Mr. Fantastic every day.
Thank you so much, Rob. I appreciate that.
Getting deep in here.
It is.
Pro golfer Sophie Gustafson has a pretty severe stutter, and she's been mentoring a high school boy named Dylan, who also stutters. He's also a huge fan of Tiger Woods. Last month, Dylan's mom emailed her to let her know Dylan attempted suicide by jumping out of his bedroom window after a particularly tough day with bullies. Bastards. God, that pisses me off. I'd love to be there for a kid that gets crap for that. Luckily, his parents stopped him before he jumped. Dylan's mom asked Sophie if she could get Tiger to write Dylan with some words of encouragement. Well, Tiger did it, and he got the word, and he wrote to Dylan. We don't know what he said, but it worked. Sophie tweeted, quote,
Thanks so much, Tiger, for sending my friend Dylan a letter. He's so happy. It's being framed and hanged. Hashtag class.
That is
class. She added that he's been doing better since then. Quote, small steps, but he really appreciates all the support that's been shown for him. That's the power of celebrity right there, and the power
and
of a
using
sports
it right.
superstar.
Using it right.
Done right.
Very good. Here's something we all care about. Olive Garden, famous for their breadsticks. They may not be the most delicious thing in the world, but that's not the point. The point is everything tastes better when it's unlimited.
That's right.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I have to hit the timpani. Olive Garden has just announced they're upping their game next month. They're going to start making breadstick sandwiches.
Yeah. Boo.
Starting June 1st, you'll be able to get a chicken parm, of course, a chicken parm, or a meatball sandwich that uses breadsticks as the roll. They'll only be available during lunch. Oh, yes, of course.
Well, then, let's hurry up and finish up the show.
If you're ordering that at dinner, that would be fun. I want a chicken parm on a breadstick sandwich roll. Thank you. And I want it for dinner, and I want it now.
I've had breadstick sandwiches there for years, but what I do is I take two breadsticks and put them around another breadstick.
That's my breadstick sandwich.
They'll
cost $6.99 for the meatball, $7.99 for the chicken parm. The bad news is that the sandwiches aren't unlimited. You only get one. The good news, do you know what the sandwiches are coming with?
What?
Unlimited breadsticks.
Oh, God.
Carbs.
Yeah, baby. Fantastic. Good for you. Rearrange your schedule today. You might want to take advantage of this. I might bring the boy up to the mall for this. You can swing by any Haagen-Dazs shop in the United States Tuesday, May 12th. That's today.
Yes.
From 4 till 8 p.m. to claim a complimentary scoop of ice cream, which comes in either a cup, a sugar cone, or a cake cone.
There's one right down the street here.
Take advantage. Since free cone day at Ben & Jerry's in Carvel just happened, this might be the grand finale of the season's great spring tradition of free cones. Make the most of it. So you heard it here if you get to take advantage of that. And let me know if you took advantage. I just gave him a free ad.
You know what? I think there'll be a lot of upselling because I'm not really on board with one scoop.
What?
I think we all know that's pretty obvious. Yeah. All right. I can't think of anything that could possibly go wrong here.
Might as well wear a button that says it. Hey, fat guy coming.
Sir, yeah, Rob goes into the ice cream. Would you like one scoop or two? And you're like, come again?
What's two
anyway,
plus one?
My kid's in the car. Can I have his scoop?
I got a bus of kids.
Lindsay Lohan is going to spend the next 2 weeks working with children.
No, it's
Isn't
bad for
that
the
beautiful?
Children.
Yeah, she's 115 hours short of her community service,
She
has until May 28th to finish. So today, she'll begin working at the Duffield Children's Center in Brooklyn. I bet that's a madhouse there today.
Yeah.
She'll do arts and crafts, help kids with their reading, and do administrative work. She's worked there before, and they say they're happy to have her back, so it must have gone well.
Hi, kids.
This is the best
like
way to...
my body?
This is the best way to clean a syringe.
There you go. Okay. Hey, who's got the bananas? We're going to show how to put it on a condom. There we go.
Oh, God.
Oh, Lindsay.
Unfortunately, Lindsay will basically have to work a full day every day from now till the 28th in order to get the required hours. Prosecutors say if she fails, they will recommend jail time.
She doesn't have a history of failure, Mike. She'll be fine.
A little something-something. 26-year-old Stephanie Miller of Midlothian, Illinois, was out drinking a few weeks ago with her boyfriend, Matthew Slattery. She got kicked out of a bar when she got too belligerent. Oh, that's nothing like a belligerent drunk woman, is there? Huh?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Sometimes you marry them.
There you go. So they went across the street to a Mexican place called El Burrito Loco.
The crazy burrito.
Nice.
To have some food and sober up. Well, it's an appropriate name. When they got there, Stephanie asked Matthew to take her to the bathroom, started stripping once they were inside, and told him she wanted to have sex right there, right now.
Oh, dear.
Whoa.
He said no and did what he was there to do. He started peeing, and she was so mad that he turned her down, that she slammed his head into the wall.
Oh.
Yeah, hurt him badly. She was arrested for domestic battery. So I guess in more than one way, he didn't get his taco. And now, without further ado, let's get to the audio. Rob Spiewak, Thursday, December 4th, 2014.
Do you remember yesterday the 911 call about the monkey on the loose? Here's a little bit to refresh your memory.
Tampa, please.
Yeah, I was just sitting in my backyard and a monkey just ran through it.
Okay, that was in Tampa, Florida. Mike, here is where the monkey escape gets an international incident status, because here is another 911 call, this time from a lady.
I saw in my backyard and in my home the monkey jumping the roof, the another house, and the pee and another house.
What color is it?
It was a look like brown, dark brown.
Are you saying a monkey?
Yes. It look like the 2 or 3 feet, more or less.
About 3 feet?
Yes.
She got more or less.
So if it's a 3 foot brown monkey, that's probably the one you're looking for. As I hear it, there were no injuries and the monkey has been caught. So Tampa Bay, relax. Now,
Can bite, right? Monkeys can give you a nasty bite.
Mike, they can rip your face off.
Yeah.
That's Charlotte.
Charlotte Nash. Very brave woman.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rob.
I don't have any tape prepared, but I'd like to send a holiday greeting to Charlotte Nash.
Charlotte Nash. Thank you.
Very brave woman.
Thanks.
Last night, they did something that plays great on the radio. They lit the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have actual audio of the tree lighting, but I do have audio of Mariah Carey, who opened the show.
Boy, you know what? I'm thinking this really, this is, we could spend a long time on this, but it's the day after, we have to do it now.
Okay.
But I think, this is just my opinion, I think you isolate anybody's vocals outside when you're trying to accomplish what she does vocally in that recording.
Yep.
And I think she's being unfairly treated.
I look forward to you hearing the isolated. Here is how it sounded.
Yeah, you're isolating the isolation. So I should point out, Rob's going to play the rough part at the beginning and the rough part at the end.
Exactly.
I listened to the whole thing, and yeah, it wasn't like the studio recording, and her voice is cracking,
and she's
can't
going
hit the
through
high
a
notes.
Divorce.
Well, yeah, that doesn't count.
I think I watched the live performance. I didn't watch it live, but I watched a recording of it, and then I listened to the separate audio track. It doesn't sound good on the separate audio track, but let's.
It was okay on TV because they buried her with backup singers. Here's what you heard on channel NBC last night.
She hit that note.
Well, that was mostly background singers.
Yeah, but she hit the who.
So anyway, with the vocals isolated, here's how she sounded.
And by the way,
wait. This is not.
No!
This is not Mariah Carey.
21 days for Christmas shopping. 21 days to fill the stocking. 21 days for Christmas shopping.
Hello there.
Hi, Mariah.
Hi there. Have you done your Christmas shopping? You better get busy. Only 21 shopping days left.
I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button there.
All right. Now, this is also going to disprove everything I just said when Rob plays the isolated vocal.
This is the isolated vocal. This is the how she started. Also, what you can't hear here, she's totally off meter, too. So,
make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas. Yes, you.
Yeah. So it started off a little sketchy, and what we just heard as the mix down on NBC, here is her vocal isolated, and I think you're going to realize how much of that was backup singer and how little of it was Mariah Carey.
Oh. Just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. So make my wish come true. It's baby all I want for Christmas is you.
She hit that note.
Stay with it.
You. She have a turkey sandwich?
Hit the note. She beat the hell out of it.
I have a question.
Anyway, so yeah, so it was not her best
that?
Night.
Who's the scumbag? I mean, it's the holidays.
It's Al Roker.
horrible human right? beings that do. And we're probably just as guilty for playing it on our show, but it's what everybody said. Well, TMZ, of course, yes, they're the ones that have it on
but
the
But it has to be
page.
Someone at NBC.
Right?
It has to be no, someone look, on the feed.
How about who would ever do this again? They just have to play the track and then they mouth the words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
why not?
This is going to push people away right? from doing live performance. And you know, it's sad. It's
all right, bad. Mike, I close with this. This is a good palate cleanser. By the way, I apologize. I did play the Faces yesterday. I played Stay With Me. I know it's one of your favorites, Mike.
Absolutely.
Safe home to their keyboard player, Ian McClagan, who passed away yesterday.
So hold on. You played the Faces and then the
and
guy
he
died?
He passed away of a stroke, yes.
Well, your streak is continuing.
It continues. Mike, this will cheer you up, though. Here is the sound of a bulldog breathing heavily and sounding like a diesel engine. So why can't you train Beluga to do this? This is a talent.
That's incredible.
It's just the dog breathing, and incredible. That's your magic audio vault.
Thank you, Rob.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Hey!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.